Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Do you feel pressure to act or dress older than your years?
Yeah, because I see people wearing high skirts and boys are dressing sloppy.
It is getting ridiculous. Every week there's a new headline about marketers chasing the 8 to 12-year-old tween market. But it begs the question, just how far will this trend go? How young is too young for sexing up? We saw the potential to exploit a new pre-tween market.
I'm Jim Burns. Now more than ever before, the media has an extremely powerful influence over the way our children think, the way our children look, and even the way our children act. However, this is not an excuse for us as parents to look the other way when we see our kids following the wrong path. It's up to us to set the tone for acceptable behavior in this area, and that's why we're devoting today's edition of Homeward to giving you as a parent the tools you need for creating a media-safe home. Bob Waliszewski of Focus on the Family is with us today for this most important conversation, so stay tuned. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Today we're going to talk about media. We're going to talk about how important media is to kids. You know that. But how important it is for us as parents and or grandparents to create a media-safe home. We talk to a lot of grandparents who contact us and say, gosh, my grandkids come over, they've got smartphones, they've got tablets, they want to play video games, and we don't know how to set boundaries either. Bob Waliszewski is with us for this conversation today. Bob is the editor of Plugged In magazine and Plugged In Online through Focus on the Family. He studied this type of stuff for generations, and we're going to have a great conversation right now during the next half hour about creating a media-safe home. So let's get right to it. Here with Part one of today's program is Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. I am very excited about today. I think it's a program that we have needed to have for a long time. Very fortunate to have Bob Waliszewski with us. We're talking about creating a media-safe home. Bob is the Director of Media and Culture for Focus on the Family. We're actually here in the Focus on the Family studio, so grateful to them for allowing us to be in their studios today. He is the Director of Plugged In, the magazine and website designed to equip parents, kids, even youth leaders, to better understand and actually navigate impact the culture in which we're living in today. He's married to Lisa. The Waliszewskis have two children. They make their home in Colorado Springs. We've got to become students of the culture, and I can't think of a better person to have on our program today than somebody who can help us do that. Bob, welcome to our program.
Jim, it is a privilege to be on your show once again. Well, I really mean that.
Well, always great to have you, and I appreciate all that you do. You know, for nearly 20 years, you've been studying the impact that the media seems to have on culture. And during that time, it doesn't seem like there's been a lot of, well, valid research, but that sort of changed in 2004, didn't it?
It did. And for up until then, I've been here 16 years of Focus on the Family, 15 years in this media department. And for most of that time, when I was talking about the influence, I had to use common sense arguments. Isn't it common sense that if you just get bombarded with messages that you might be motivated, influenced by those messages? But I kept waiting, where's the valid studies? And in 2004, the RAND Corporation put out a study linking sexual TV with actual sexual behavior in teenagers, found that teens are almost twice as likely to be sexually promiscuous, those teenagers that consume a lot of sexualized television compared to their peers who watch very little. Then in 2006, we had the RAND Corporation put out a similar study that linked music. Surprise, surprise, sexualized music and the same thing, twice as likely. Yeah. And since then, we've now seen studies that have linked on-screen smoking with actual smoking behavior. Just yesterday, I was reading a study that links video game playing with actual aggressive attitudes and behaviors, which is not the first time we've seen that. But once again, another study that's been linking this argument. So I think finally, we can put it to rest that the argument that some people have told us, but entertainment, it just reflects the society. It doesn't influence the culture. It just reflects the society. And it's like, no, it does influence us. Bottom line, it's over. The argument is ended.
It's interesting because you say there are studies, and yet it is common sense. You suggest that a family has kind of a family constitution or a family covenant, so to speak, that helps families kind of decide and communicate what they're going to do with their kids.
I do. And in fact, I brought a copy with me to the studio today that my family actually signed. People can download it at family.org. They can find this family covenant, or they can write their own. But in a nutshell, what we agree to as a family, back in the year February 18th of 2002, we basically said as a family, not to be legalistic, but practical, we want to honor the Lord with our entertainment choices. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to say that my college-age daughter, my high school-age son, who goes off to college next year, my wife and I are still living by the standard of this covenant. Right. Not perfect. Sometimes we may push the envelope and whatever. But the gist of it is we really, really, as a family, believe this and want to practice it.
One of the things that we're saying all the time is you have to be a student of the culture. And to do that, parents have to be involved. You said something interesting that you and Lisa actually also signed the family covenant as well. So a lot of times it's children see, children do.
Yeah. Mom and dad are going to do it a little differently because we are the adults here. Right. No, we want to do the same thing.
No, you're right. You know, it's funny. I've told you this before, that my daughter Heidi, when she would want to go to a movie, she figured it out. She would go to pluggedin.com, she would get the movie review, and she would hand it to us and say, "This is the movie I want to go to."
What do you think?
Which was pretty smart on her part. Yeah. There were a couple of times where we said, okay, we're going to, you know, we live with our own family standards, and we're going to have to deal with this in another way. But that has been a phenomenal experience in terms of the amount of people who go and get reviews and get understanding of culture, movies, and other aspects of it. Tell us a little bit about it for some of our listeners who may not know.
Well, we have this very popular website, pluggedinonline.com, as you mentioned, a magazine to also teach media discernment, Plugged In Magazine. And the website, of course, is totally free, like almost everything on the web is. The magazine, we suggest $24. A year, suggested donation if people would like to do that. People say, I'd love to have the magazine. I can't afford it. Focus on the Family. We'd be happy to give it to them. But in a nutshell, on our website, for instance, we have movie reviews, as you mentioned with your daughter. Those have been the most popular, but we also have reviews of television shows. Right. We also have reviews of popular albums, so parents could have that information as well. And it's interesting. Unlike your family, which likes Plugged In, not all the people out there are our greatest fans. I received this email not long ago from a person who says, "First, I would like to state that I am a hip-hop and all-around music fan. Second, I would like to state that Mr. Bob Walaszewski is a blatant moron who does not have any business writing these reviews." So I've actually been told, I don't know for sure that it's true, but someone in our correspondence department once told me, she says, "I think you get more hate mail than Dr. Dobson does. He gets tons more mail." But anyway, something like this, where this person pretty well told me off. That was just the opening sentence. The rest of it gets worse.
Yeah. But actually, you know, it's the kind of thing that builds dialogue. And one of the things I'm saying to parents these days is, you know what, you've got to dialogue with your kids. You can't just say, don't watch this, don't listen to this, don't read this. You actually have to help them learn to discern. And that's a big part of dealing with anything, with what you're doing with Plugged In, what you're doing in culture issues. But it really is helping kids learn to discern, because our job long term is to help kids become responsible adults who love God. Mm-hmm. And part of that is they're going to have to learn how to discern the culture. Your daughter has to learn how to discern the culture now that she's away, because mom and dad aren't watching it.
Absolutely. As you've just said, our job is to basically work ourselves out of a job.
Yeah.
We want to equip our kids so that they grasp all these principles, the love and passion for Jesus Christ ultimately, and then how it plays out in everyday decisions like media, like sexuality, like drugs and alcohol, like driving too fast or whatever, so they grasp it. And if we can help our kids grasp this, and we can, starting from an early age, if we've got listeners that have young kids, oh boy, just to for instance, not to babysit our kids with videos, which is a common problem of people of faith and people not of faith, you know, and just thinking, I got to put the kid in front of the television and I've got way too much to do. I would say there's a better way, keeping televisions out of the bedroom, but more importantly, having those conversations with our kids. I remember being at a Pizza Hut restaurant once when my kids were smaller, and a certain song came over the jukebox. Somebody had put a few quarters in, and it was not appropriate. Well, what do you do? Instead of just saying, kids, let's get out of here and get to the car right now, we decided to use that as a minor way to teach. And I just said something like, kids, your dad does not approve of that song, and here's why. They heard it. They heard the message of the song, and I explained why, instead of just rushing out there.
And that really is the way to do it.
And it was.
That's good conversational advice there from Bob Waliszewski here on the Homeward broadcast today, talking with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns about creating a media-safe home. Roger Marsh here back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, where we see it all the time. We see college students who are just completely consumed with media. And not just media in the sense that they're going on Facebook all the time, but media is the way they communicate, media is the way they interact. Many of them are taking classes online, and we have to be mindful of the fact that if you want to create a media safe home, you can't just put a web filter and a spam blocker on your router and say, that's it. It involves being in constant contact with our kids, being engaged with our kids, and actually having faith conversations like the one that Bob was just talking about. Dr. Jim Burns has written a book called Faith Conversations for Families that helps you start to have that conversation just the same way Bob just described it. That could have been one of the examples from the book. If you like ordering information for Dr. Jim Burns' book, Faith Conversations for Families, visit our online resource center today at homeward.com.
When a child starts looking to meet and make new friends online, they could be setting themselves up for some real trouble. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. Study after study is now revealing what many parents have suspected all along. The kids who wind up getting into trouble in online relationships are more than likely dealing with some serious relationship issues in real life as well. And those are just the kinds of kids that online predators are looking to meet.
We've been investigating and reporting on grown men looking to meet underage teens in internet chat rooms.
Kids who learn how to communicate and connect well with their friends and family are less likely to fall prey to the kinds of online predators we've been hearing so much about in the news lately. Utilize the power of being there with your kids, and you'll go a long way toward preventing at-risk behavior, especially online. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Keeping the Internet Safe, Educational, and Fun, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Bob Waliszewski with me today. He's the Director of Media and Culture for Focus on the Family, Director of Plugged In, great magazine, great website. By the way, we have a link on our website today, pluggedinonline.com. I'd encourage you to go to our website or go straight to pluggedinonline.com and take a look at all the great stuff that they have to offer for parents. This was something that Kathy and I have used and used with our kids. It kind of helped us raise our kids in terms of thinking about culture and media. You know, Bob, not long ago, a Colorado man was arrested for, and this just amazes me, for hiring a stripper to perform at his son's 12th birthday party. As outrageous as this sounds, I think you're of the opinion that in some ways this kind of thing happens every week in movie theaters around the country. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, this man, as a culture, we said this was wrong. And I'm like, good, we got that, that here we had this stripper at this 12th birthday party. And what was wrong with it? Well, it was because it was live. But for some reason, if it's in the theater, we almost hardly don't raise an eyebrow over it. So if this man would have taken his 12-year-old son and all his buddies to the theater and seen even worse nudity on screen than what they saw in the home that day, he wouldn't have been arrested. In fact, some of his buddies, the man's buddies, would have punched him, given him an elbow in the ribs and said, right, good job, Yeah, that sounds like fun. I wish I was there. Right. Instead of we should be appalled.
Right.
But it happens over and over. And we know, Jim, we're pretty much about the same age, but we have seen that what was acceptable 30 years ago and what was out of bounds has so changed, so that we now have a whole different culture where what's on screen. I so often when I speak to young people and I say, you know, we've got to honor the Lord with our media choices, and this particular film is out of bounds with nudity and the sexuality, they look at me like, who are you? And right. What planet are you from?
Right.
Instead of, it should be, oh, absolutely, I understand it. That makes perfect sense. My faith should demonstrate that action. I was speaking to a mission conference with a coworker, Bob Smithhauser, the editor, plugged in a few years back. A missions conference, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. So you know kids that come to a missions conference aren't just coming for the music or the rah-rah speakers. They're coming because they have a passion for mission.
Yeah.
And as I talked about media and honoring the Lord, I asked the question, how many of you in the last 30 days have watched a movie rated R that if your parents knew, they would be very displeased. They'd be very disappointed with you. Let me see your hands. Not 8 kids in the audience of 600 or 20 kids or whatever. I estimate half the audience.
Right.
Then I ask the question, how many in the last 30 days have listened to a CD sticker with a parental advisory? Now, this is the raunchy, racy stuff that's out there today. And I'd say the numbers went up, probably 2/3 of the audience. Again, is it a problem in the church today? Are young people consuming inappropriate entertainment very similar to their non-Christian peers? It appears so. The evidence is out there. Now, certainly there are some kids that are really trying to honor the Lord with their entertainment choices. But we're at these microphones today because we have parents who haven't made it an issue, haven't thought to practice it, haven't thought to teach it and train it, and their kids really are kind of floundering in this
right.
area.
No, they are. And there's a parent here who's probably in a car and they've just pulled over to the side because they need to finish this because they're saying, wait, that's our family, and,
yeah.
and they have some concerns. What do you say to that person who says, you know what, I haven't done it right. I want to move toward, you know, having a family covenant. I want to move toward having this. But you know what? The fact is that my kids are teens and they're already kind of going down that path. They're not going to buy if I say we're going to back off. So what do you say to that person? At least they're thinking that. What do you say to that mom, that dad?
Well, it's never too late to start, really. I honestly believe that. It's better to start when they're early. But if you didn't and you realize you made some mistakes, I suggest having a family meeting around the table. And just, especially if it comes from dad, not just mom, but a united front with mom and dad, say something. Dad says something along this line. Hey, I probably have blown it as a father. I've kind of let you guys do whatever when it comes to entertainment. Your mom and I kind of went through some issues when we were younger, and we navigated it, and we kind of thought you have. But it's a different world. And I want to apologize, first off, for not really setting an acceptable standard in the home. But from this day forward, not to be legalistic, not because you need another rule to follow, but this family is going to honor the Lord. So if there's been if you have inappropriate CDs or something you've downloaded to your iPod, we need to change that. If there's movies that you've been to in the past that have been inappropriate, well, that's water under the bridge. But from here forward, we're going to try to honor the Lord. And then we'll use the WWJD concept, which I love, which is, what would Jesus do? That applies to every aspect of life, but it certainly applies to media as well. If Jesus were walking the planet today, not 2,000 years ago, but today with his 12 disciples, and let's say Peter came to him and said, Jesus, Bella's in the movie theater. Can we go see that? What would the answer be? I actually think Jesus, he's not anti-entertainment. I think he'd say, yes. You know, hey, Grindhouse, Saw 3, Saw 4, Knocked Up, 40-year-old virgin. It's like, can we rent that in the DVD player? Can we play Grand Theft Auto, you know, whatever? The answer would be much different. If we would just ask that question and live appropriately or live in the answer to that, it would save a lot of our headaches when it comes to entertainment.
You know, it would, in terms of entertainment, in terms of life, in terms of discipleship, in terms of actually trying to raise kids who love God and who become responsible adults. You're 100% right. You know, what would Jesus do? Used to be the bracelets. They don't wear it as much. But you know what? It is a way of life for families, and it should be a way of life.
It is. It was a fad. Let's admit it. The fad is gone, and as all fads do. But the concept behind the fad should never go out of style.
You're right.
What would Jesus do? What a great way to ask. And, you know, there are some gray areas. I'll admit, I've been in this department long enough to know there's some areas that confuse me. I think, what would Jesus do? I'm not real sure. That's got this one little element. Would he or wouldn't he? I'm not sure. But, you know, Jim, if we're just asking the question, I think we're on the road
right.
to pleasing the Lord. What bothers me most is for Christians who claim to love the Lord and don't even want to dare ask the question because they're afraid they might get an answer that would limit themselves. Instead of denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following him, a lot about the Christian life is about denial. Sometimes it's denying us ourselves in this area. That's okay. It really is okay.
No, it's a great point, and it is something we have to teach our kids. Don't have much time left, but we've talked about so much of the negative stuff, but there is positive stuff out there. I mean, there's positive. You mentioned Bella. My wife and I just saw Bella, and we loved Bella.
Yes.
But there are some positive things. You're encouraging people to not just walk away from all media, but actually find some good, healthy, God-honoring media and enjoy it.
Absolutely. One of the questions that I ask the audience when I speak, I'll say, what is the most watched movie of all time? The answer to that question is actually a positive on the side of Christian filming. I often get Gone with the Wind or the Star Wars series or whatever people are thinking, but it's really the Jesus film. 1 billion people have watched that film. Well, asking a WWJD question to that, is that a good thing? Is the Lord pleased with that? Obviously, it's gotten his message out. But there's great films, Amazing Grace, Facing the Giants, Ultimate Gift, and they're not always Christian films, but there's great things out there. And if families would just consume the good, the positive, and I would even say the neutral. Sometimes there's very positive messages in films that we should consume, and sometimes it's just a lack of the offensive. And I call neutral entertainment, whether it's a song or whatever, that we can say, yeah, I think that's okay. It's just that we don't want to be consumers of the types of media, all television, all the different types, if they glamorize the very things that the Lord Jesus came to save us and set us free from. If they're glamorizing drug abuse, promiscuity and perversion, why put dollars into that industry and allow our minds to be influenced by that? I say, let's not.
Great input. Bob Walczewski, thank you for what you do. Thank you for a great conversation today.
It's been a privilege, Jim.
We're talking today about creating a media-safe home, and you know what? You can do that. It's not necessarily easy, but it can be done. I'm going to tell you a story here at the end. I was, as Bob was talking about, sometimes they've seen movies that sometimes you go, oh my goodness. I was with my two older daughters. They were still pretty young at this time, and we were watching an Eddie Murphy movie, and I watched a couple of Eddie Murphy movies thinking it was okay, and so my wife was with my younger daughter. They were at something else, and we went. About halfway into this movie, I realized this is not the movie for them to be seeing. It wasn't rated R, but it still had crudeness that I didn't want my girls to necessarily be seeing. And I had this check in my spirit. Do I walk out and in some ways turn off my girls because they were having a great time? They were in junior high and it was junior high humor. Or do I mention to them, we're going to go get some yogurt. We're going to maybe get some ice cream afterwards. And we're going to talk about it. Well, I chose to do that, also knowing I would probably get the wrath of Kathy because I'd even chosen to go to this movie. And you know what? It became a conversation piece. I said, you know what, girls? I think I made a mistake. This movie was cruder than I thought. And I actually, as we're eating ice cream and having some fun, and actually there were some very funny parts to this, I said, what do you think would be parts of that movie that would be, in some ways, not God-honoring, not that God does laugh at humor, but what do you think would be some of the stuff? And you know what? They went right down the list. Boom, 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 boom. What I was trying to do was teach them to learn to discern. Parents, you've got to watch what they watch, listen to what they listen to, and read what they read. And if you'll do this, then in a very healthy way, you can create a media-safe home. And you know what? Media isn't safe. It's not all bad, but it's not necessarily safe. It does have an influence in your life, and it has an influence in the lives of your kids and will influence them even more greater.
Absolutely. And Jim, I know this is something that as we've been having this conversation here, you and Bob Walczewski, thinking about your resource, Faith Conversations for Families, I want to stress that this is a faith issue as well as a technological issue. And the book, Faith Conversations for Families, available for purchase in our online resource center today. When you do purchase it from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we truly appreciate that tax-deductible donation that you would be making, even right here at the end of our fiscal year. You can order a copy online at homeward.com. It's HOMEWORD.com. And Jim, looking forward to it's the end of today's program, but looking forward to another conversation with Bob on the next Homeward broadcast about this topic.
What we don't want to do is become so rigid that we say, you can't see this, you can't see that, without even understanding it. So that's why I appreciate so much today's conversation with Bob Walczewski.
And we're going to have more of that conversation on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast. I should mention that if you'd like to jump ahead already, if you're a podcaster with us, you probably already have part two of this conversation. We do podcast the Monday through Friday edition of the Homeward Broadcast. It's absolutely free. And we've made it easy for you to sign up and get that subscription going. All you have to do is go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast tab, there's a podcast link on the radio broadcast tab, and boom, there you go, right to iTunes. You don't have to sort through millions of different podcasts that no one would ever listen to and join the tens of thousands of people who enjoy the Homeward podcast. And that's available without cost or further obligation, simply because of your prayers and faithful financial support. Also, when you're online with us, make sure you check out Homeward's Culture Brief as well. It comes out every Friday, and it's packed full of information in just one quick little email blast. Information on how you can try to stay a couple of steps ahead of the culture. That is a free subscription as well as our podcast subscription. Absolutely free. Go to homeward.com, follow the prompts, start your subscription today to Homeward's Weekly Culture Brief.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.